Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, November the 13th, 2016.
Good morning, I'm Fred Holcomb. I'm the gather pastor here at Grace. I want to welcome you to our service, one of our final gatherings for our GO conference. We've had a great week and looking forward to hearing from a few more missionaries this morning in this service and also in the Sunday school hour, where the men will be back in the back with Ron Allen that you just heard, and Zena will be in the auditorium with the ladies. If you're visiting with us this morning, we would love for you to fill out this info card to give us a little information about maybe how we can assist you in some way. There's an opportunity for you to write some prayer requests down there. We'd love to be able to pray. In fact, every Monday during our pastoral staff meeting, we take time to pray over these cards and for the specific prayer requests that you mentioned. So please, this is for visitors and members alike. If there's something that you would love for us to pray with or some way we can assist you, we'd love to be able to help you out in that way. Somebody told me that Mike and Joe Beth, there they are, Mike and Joe Beth Loftus are with us this morning. Glad to have you guys part of our service today. We also, last Friday was Veterans Day, and this would be the Sunday that we'd be able to recognize some of you. We thank you so much for your service in our military, various branches of our military. If you have served, or maybe if you're serving at this point in the military, would you stand and let us honor you this morning? We do so appreciate what you have done and continue to do for our country. It reminds us to pray for our country as well, and the new leadership and the transition and so forth. And just pray that God will have his way in our lives and maybe give us a better passion for serving him and spreading the gospel. As we begin this morning's service, I'm going to ask Voices of Praise to come up and join me as we assist me this morning in leading you in some music and worship. As we begin and we open in prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and we'll pray together and then we'll sing together. Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity that you've given us today to come and worship you. And we pray that as we come into your presence, that you would just be honored and glorified by what is done today. But most of all, we want you to pour into us through your word, challenge us, mold us to be more like you. We pray that that would be our heart's desire, our heart's passion as we go forward today. We thank you for what you're going to do ahead of time through this day and in months to come as we see your gospel spread. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I will follow.
Trust in you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome, Grace. Good to see you guys this morning. We having a good morning? I am seriously impressed that we have this many people here after flip-flopping our services. This is pretty good. So I was a little nervous, so it's worked out well. I am very excited to be able to introduce our kind of keynote speaker for today. You guys have heard me talking about kind of this budding partnership we've been looking into with Mercy Hill Church in Washington, D.C. And so I know a lot of you were here Wednesday night and got to hear a little bit from John and Amber. They spent some time with our youth, and then several of you have had them in your small group Sunday school classes and the picnic yesterday to get to know them a little bit. I know all of you have enjoyed that. But I'm very excited to have them in front of kind of all of us today to let you hear a little bit from John's heart. And now he's going to be leaving. Just so you know, part of the reason we're doing the message this early, he is leaving from here and going to Ottawa Baptist as quickly as they can, but not accelerating or braking quickly because, you know, that's my car. And I never do those things. But anyway, so they're going to be heading right there. If you guys miss any points, you can just follow them over there and catch them the second time they preach it if you want to do that. But if you want to connect with them and you have haven't yet, make sure you come back tonight. They will be around, and we want to make sure you all get to know them a little bit. So, again, John, just to tell you a little bit about him, he's a guy that's from Buffalo, grew up in Florida, and has been to, went to Palm Beach Atlantic, and then to Southeastern Seminary, where he met his very lovely wife, Amber, who is connected, we found out later, to the Holcombs a little bit, with Scott Holcomb, I believe, which was really kind of fun. And so, Mike Swanson and I got to go up to D.C. recently just to get to meet John, to see the community, which I've told you some about. But we just really enjoyed getting to know his heart for those people, how they got there, and just looking at the vision for what the Lord can do there in the Southwest Waterfront District of Washington, D.C. So I ask you would welcome, please, John Spolino.
I'm a little vertically challenged, so this table is a little tall, but that'll be okay. My name is John Spolino. As I said, I'm a church planter and pastor for Mercy Hill Church in Washington, D.C. I'm so excited that we get to be here today with y'all. I have a family, so I'm going to introduce you to them. So I have a picture of my family that's coming up. My wife is over there, Amber, so she's sitting right down here. That's my wife, Amber. We've been married for a little over 2.5 years, and then we also have a almost one-year-old, that's Jonathan Jr. He shares a name with my dad, my grandpa, my great-grandfather, and so he's got a family name, and his sole mission in life right now is to save his parents from sleep one night at a time. So it's been a joy in parenting. You know, it's funny that no one really prepares you for parenting. You can read books, you know, you can read your blogs, you can watch YouTube videos, which we've done on many occasions, on how to get your child to sleep, and they don't really prepare you what it's actually like. You know, at 3 a.m. when you're waking up every hour on the hour, how cranky you can get when you're sleep deprived. But no one also tells you about the joy. So I remember when Jonathan started crawling, and I remember being at the nursery, and a guy had a child the same age, and I just wanted to tell him that my child could crawl better than his child, you know. And I just wanted to, you know, maybe make a line and then have them race just to prove it. But no one really prepares you about the joys of parenting and seeing the development of your child grow. And so Jonathan's starting to stand up by himself and starting to walk a little bit. And that's just been really exciting for us. But it's funny, it's the same with church planting. You can have the best coaches, you can read all the best books, you can spend time learning your culture, and you can do all that kind of stuff. But nobody really prepares you for church planting. No one prepares you for the stress of raising finances for your church. No one prepares you for the loneliness that you can feel when you move into an area where there's statistically very little Christians. Nobody prepares you just for one thing that we've been learning is that our minds are constantly church planting. So every conversation that we have, they're a potential church member, right? And every conversation has a goal to it. And so nobody prepares you for that type of living. And it's the same way, though, on the good stuff. No one prepares you for when we started our Bible study, Amber and I just said, no one's going to show up. No one's going to be there. No one's going to be here. And 15 minutes late came in a woman named Janelle, and she walked on in, and she's been back ever since. And so every week we're like, we love you. You know, we're so excited that you're here. And no one prepares you, though. We had one lady in our building who walked by our Bible study every week, and one day she stopped by and said, you know, I have no biblical background, I didn't grow up in church, I don't know anything about Jesus, but can I attend your Bible study? And it's like, yes, please come. And so nobody prepares you for that joy as well. But in all of our journey so far, we've been on this journey of church planting for a little over 3 years. At this point, the word that we would use to describe our church planting journey would not be stress. And it wouldn't be being scared of what lies ahead. It wouldn't even be the word loneliness. And it wouldn't even be exciting or exhilarating. The word we would use is faithful. God has been extremely faithful to us. He was faithful 3 years ago. He called Amber and I to start thinking about church planting. And so we just said, Lord, we will go wherever you want to go.
He was faithful to bring us to Washington, D.C., and to show us a community that we can love and we can build a church in that has very little Christians, which I'll talk about later in the message. He was faithful to provide some partnerships for us to actually move to D.C. and minister in our community. He's been faithful even just with weird connections that have allowed other churches to partner with us. The reason why we're here is because another pastor in this area was sharing the vision, and Ben overheard him sharing, and that's how this connection was made. And so God has just been extremely faithful through this whole entire process to show us the next steps in church planting and to make Mercy Hill Church a reality. But even though he has been faithful in all those things, he has never been more faithful to Amber and I than the moment that he saved us. If you're a follower of Jesus in this room this morning, if you're a disciple of Jesus, God has never been more faithful to you than the moment that he saved you. And here's the reality. God has been faithful. So the question we're going to ask this morning is this: are you being faithful in the mission that he's given you? If God has been faithful, which we know that he has, are you being faithful in the mission that he's given you? And so we're going to look at what that means this morning. And so let's turn to our first passage, which is going to be Matthew chapter 28. It says 18 on the screen, but that's a typo. That's my fault. The word of God is completely inerrant and without error, but my slides are not. So Matthew 28, 19 through 20, we're going to just be here for a brief moment, and then we're going to move to 1 Peter chapter 2, so that's the main text we're going to look at. But we have to ask a question. Well, if God has called us to a mission, what is that mission? And we see it here, so let's read. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is when Jesus, he's about to ascend into heaven. It's his last words to his disciples, so they're probably going to be very important. And he says this: this is your mission. Your mission is not just to help the needy. Your mission is not just to gather together and kind of be in an inclusive group where you just kind of talk about me, but don't go out in the community. He says, your mission is to go out while you're living life. Your mission is to make more followers of Jesus, to make more disciples of Jesus. That's our mission. That's not just a pastor's mission. That's not just a missionary's mission. This is for every single person who has said, I have put my faith in Jesus. This is your mission, to make more followers of Jesus. So if that's our mission, the big question we're going to answer today is this: what are the marks of a well-rounded, reproducing disciple? What are those characteristics of a follower of Jesus that makes them a well-rounded disciple, but also makes them reproducible? That means that you are making more followers of Jesus. So that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to ask two quiz questions after every mark that we talk about this morning. And it's going to be, does this mark or characteristic describe me? And the second is, do I help others grow in this area of their life? So you have your Bibles, turn now to 1 Peter chapter 2. And by the way, I love supporting Scripture with Scripture, so you may be jumping around this morning. So I hope you're really good with your sword drills. All right, so here we go. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, let's go ahead and read that, and then we will start talking about our different marks of a well-rounded disciple. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. By the way, this is Mercy Hill's church's theme verse. This is where we get the name Mercy Hill. First mark of a well-rounded disciple is this: reproducing disciples worship God passionately. That's the first mark. We see in our text in verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. I bolded those there for you. And what Peter is doing in this text is he is ending an argument. He starts an argument all the way at the beginning of chapter 1, and we're going to read a section of it because we wouldn't be doing the scripture service if we just ignored it. But he's basically telling his people, listen, you are this group of people that was created to worship God in light of the hope that you've been given. So let's look at the beginning of chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father, Father our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now jump back over to chapter 2, verse 7. So, the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected, which was Jesus, would become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. So Peter is saying, in light of the salvation that you have been given, you are now to worship God passionately. He says, the only response that is acceptable when you have given your life to Jesus and he has saved you is to worship him. It doesn't make sense that he would save you and then you would just say, thanks, but I'm going to go over here and worship this thing. He says, no, this hope that you have is imperishable. It's incapable of decay. And then he says, this hope that you have, the salvation, it's undefiled, which means it's perfect. And then he says, then the salvation that you have is unfading. It doesn't lose its power ever. What he tells them is that you have something that won't grow stale, that is perfect, and will never leave. And because of that hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our only response is to lift him high and say, thank you, Lord, we want to worship you for what you have done. That is the only response. But some of you may say, well, I'm just not that bad. I'm going to give you a little quiz. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall of the glory of God. Who knows? Verse 24. It's a good part. Come on. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have fallen short. There's nothing that we can do to earn his salvation. So he sent Jesus for us. But when you become a Christian and accept that gift, you don't start doing something new. You actually become something new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You don't just start doing new things. Something transforms inside of you and you become something new. And when you become something new, you have new desires, new passions. You want to read his word. You want to pray to the Lord. You want to be involved in his kingdom. You want to use your gifts for his kingdom. That's what happens when you become something new. When you become something new, you recognize who created you and you say, thank you, God, for saving me. You will never be a reproducing disciple if you don't worship God passionately. So quiz question, do you worship him passionately in your life? Second question, do I help others grow in this area of my life? Am I asking ways to pray for people? Now, some of you in worship, you think, I mean, musically on Sunday morning, you say, well, I can't even find my car keys on a Sunday morning, let alone my musical key. But listen, sing corporate worship, even if you sound terrible, all right? We won't judge you because you're worshiping the Creator who made you. Do you help others grow in this area? Do you help others memorize Scripture? This is all a part of living a life that worships God passionately. Second mark is this, reproducing disciples love one another deeply. Look at our text, verse 10, particularly verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's verse 10. It's very clear here that what Peter is saying is that because of this hope that you have been given in Jesus Christ, now you not only become something new, but now you're a part of a new family. And that family loves one another. That family has mercy, has grace. This family is now not just a random scattered bunch of people. It is now God's people. You're part of this new family. And here's a distinction that we need to make. The church is not like a family. The church is a family. Every disciple, every follower of Jesus must understand that they have been called to strive side by side for the gospel. That they have been called to one mind and one focus. And this disciple makes every effort to keep the peace within a family. Listen, I have plenty of family members I wish I can kind of just write off. But I don't. Why? Because they're family. The church is not like a family. It is a family. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 says this. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, when it says one, I want you to underline if you write in your Bible every time it says one. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to, one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul and Peter understand that the church is like a, it's not like a family, but it is a family. And that everything we do is to strive together, focused on one mind, on one mission, making disciples. And we do everything that we can to keep the peace. Families eat together. Families spend time together. Families study God's word together. Families serve together. These are things that families do. But families also celebrate great victories together. They grieve together at a loss of someone. The problem is the church has been acting more like a clubhouse than a family. When someone gets offended or someone doesn't like an amenity that the church offers, they pull membership and they go somewhere else. The problem is the church is not a membership, the church is not a clubhouse, it's a family. And so we should weep when a brother and sister falls away. We should weep when a brother and sister decides over something little to go somewhere else. We should celebrate when someone in the church who's been sitting there for year after year after year listening to the message finally comes to faith in Jesus. We should celebrate that because we are this family. But we just don't do it because we're family. We keep the unity. We keep the peace. We celebrate one another. Not just because it helps us in the family, but because it reflects on Jesus. When there is disunity between two believers, what it tells the world is that Christ's sacrifice is sufficient to forgive all offenses, and then it tells them that it's sufficient to break all barriers and reconcile the greatest of enemies, but that's only in theory and not in practice. What we tell the world when we have two believers who are angry with one another, that aren't forgiving each other, what we tell the world that what Christ said he would do, he can't actually do. We must preach a gospel that says that forgiveness, peace, unity, that is what the church is to strive after. The Christian today is going to be marked by three things. One is his conviction to God's word. Second is going to be his ability to love one another. But third is going to be his capacity to forgive. We must be a forgiving people. We must forgive all offenses. And we must strive side by side for the gospel. Listen. If Jesus could unite the lion and the lamb, especially today, this week, Jesus can unite a Democrat and a Republican. Jesus has the power to do that. We must not forget that. So here's a question for you. How are you doing? How does this mark describe you? Do you keep the peace? Or are you someone who likes to stir up the pot a little bit? Do you help others do this in your life? Third mark. Moving on. Reproducing disciples serve their world boldly. Look at our text, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Why? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. We serve the world in two ways. One is by inviting. The second is by investing. First, by inviting. Second, by investing. So let's talk about inviting for a second. Rescued people rescue people. If you have been saved by Jesus and you understand what Christ has done for you, you want to tell other people who don't have that. Rescued people rescue people. We were all in slavery under sin and captivity. We were slaves. And Jesus has set us free. So now our goal, our mission in life is to find people who are still under that captivity and tell them who this life-giving person is named Jesus, the one who can set them free. I heard one pastor say one time that we are just one beggar telling another beggar where the food is. That's what we do. Rescued people tell other people who need to be rescued about Jesus. Fortunately, recent poll said that 80% of Christians hadn't shared their faith in the last year. And out of those 80, 50% said they've never shared their faith at all. Some probably would say it's fear. Some probably say, well, they're just not, they don't know how to. Those are things that we can, that the church can help with. But I'm afraid that's not the reason for many. I think the reason is that they're just maybe ungrateful. They don't really recognize just how sinful they really were. And that Jesus to them is probably just more of an accessory to tack onto their life. In D.C., you're just Christian enough to get the job that you want. You're just Christian enough to so that your boss thinks that you have morals. But there's no salvation that's there. Many people profess to be Christians. They don't really understand that they have been rescued from something in which they had no hope. Listen, you have no hope without Jesus. Jesus is our hope. And that is the gospel that we must preach. So here's a question for you. If the early church shared the gospel with unbelievers as much as you do, would there be a Christian church today? Now, I probably don't share the gospel as much as I should. But what we must start understanding is this, that we have for so long have neglected to share the gospel with our community, with our neighbors. But then we sit back and ask, what went wrong? What went wrong with the world? What went wrong is that we stopped sharing the message of Jesus. That's what went wrong. So do you live intentionally to try and build relationships with unbelievers so that one day you can share the gospel with them? Secondly, we do it by investing. God has given us time, talents, and finances. He's given us those to further his kingdom, influence the culture around us, and serve the people we work, live, and play with. The problem is, for many of us, we often think it's our time and our talents and our finances to do with whatever we want. I want to share a poem with you that I always thought was pretty fun, and it just describes the lunacy of this. It's called The Cookie Thief. A woman was waiting at an airport one night with several long hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in the airport shops and bought a bag of cookies and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book but happened to see that the man sitting beside her, as bold as he could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag in between, which she tried to ignore to avoid a scene. So she munched the cookies and watched the clock as this gutsy cookie thief diminished her stock. She was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking, if I wasn't so nice, I would blacken his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one too. When only one was left, she wondered what he would do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it in half. He offered her half as he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother, this guy has some nerve and he's also so rude. Why, he didn't even show me any gratitude. She had never known when she had ever been so galled and sighed with relief when her flight was called. So she gathered her belongings and headed to the gate, refusing to look back at that thieving ingrate. So she boarded the plane and sank in her seat. Then she sought her book, which was almost complete. As she reached in her bag, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. If mine are here, she moaned in despair. The others were his, and he tried to share. Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. Thought it was good. Oftentimes, we believe that there are cookies, but they're God's. And we take them and take them and take them. All the while, they're never ours even to begin with. Do you use your time? Do you use your talents? And do you use your finances to further the kingdom of God? I am convinced that the church today, if you look at somebody's pocketbook, you really see what they really value. And for many, they don't really value furthering the kingdom of God. They'd rather spend their money on a bunch of other stuff. They'd rather have the nicest, newest things and just kind of replace them over and over again. And yet, we have missionaries and churches. Even this church has to have finances to survive to spread the kingdom of God. It's always been, and it should always be, that the Christian people support furthering kingdom of God through other Christians, through churches, through missionaries, through church planters. So how are you doing? Are you inviting? Are you investing in the kingdom of God? Are you helping others to do the same? Out of these three marks, would you say that you are a well-rounded disciple that can reproduce other disciples like this? Mercy Hill Church wants to create disciples who worship God passionately, who love one another deeply, and serve the world boldly. That's what we aim to do. If you would, if you put up the slide of D.C. for me, it's one with the circle. That's my community in Washington, D.C. It is just south of the National Mall and National Monument. 2.5 years ago, when Amber and I really focused on church planting after a few months of praying, we just said, God, I want you to bring us to a place where less than 4% believe in Jesus. There's no existing healthy church there already, and where it's one of the least biblically minded cities in America. And he brought us to Southwest Waterfront, Washington, D.C. Out of the 35,000 people that live in that circle, which is only a half to three-quarter square mile, out of the 35,000 people, on an average Sunday, there may be 60 people who gather and worship for Jesus. And if that's not startling enough, out of the 35,000 people, Amber and I's small group Bible study is the only Christian meeting that affirms the authority of Scripture. We're the only conservative evangelical Christian entity in our whole entire community at this point. And so we saw a need there. They need a gospel-loving, gospel-teaching, Bible-affirming church. And so we went and we looked and we were heartbroken that these people had really no church sharing the gospel with them. In the past almost 4 months we've lived there, we have maybe met six other Christians. maybe. It's very lost and in need of Jesus. But God has been opening up doors for us. He has, the first 2 weeks we were there, he had a place for us to meet for services. Promise we don't have any people yet. So, but we have a place to worship. And then he provided a free place for us to have our Bible study on Tuesday nights. And that's been going for about 6 or 7 weeks. And we didn't know anybody when we moved in. And now we have three African-American women who come and join us. It's been awesome. We partnered with our farmers market just to show them some love. And that turned into them asking us to do a family fun day for Halloween. And so a group of 25 from Raleigh, North Carolina, drove up to help us with that. And we gave away 4,000 pieces of candy and got to meet people in our neighborhood and really establish that there is a church here who loves their community and loves Jesus. And so we are just so excited to see what God has for us in the future. He has been faithful every step of the way in our plant, and we know that he's going to continue to be faithful. And right now, and I have to close up. Right now, as God has been faithful, he's been bringing partners aside of us to help us. But we do have some financial needs. One is babysitting. Our Bible study, we desperately need babysitting, but that's a good $30 to $40 a week that we just don't have. A small group, an individual, may be able to give $30 a month to help us cover one of those weeks. Our farmer's market costs $20 to participate in every week where we hand out canvas bags and meet our neighbors. That's another way. Then we just have needs as far as food for our Bible study and those sorts of things. Back in 2014, out of $378 million that was given to church planting, 80% was given by individuals and not churches. That's the power of the individual to support church plants. Support missionaries. It's powerful, and it means a lot for the kingdom. But with that, I'm going to close. So if I just would, if everyone could just bow their heads, eyes closed. I like to do this just to see how I can be praying for you as a person. Some of you at the beginning of this may say, well, I haven't been using my gifts, I haven't been using my talents, and I haven't been using my finances for the kingdom. If you would say, you know, that's you, that you haven't been doing that, but you want to start, would you just raise your hand? Good. I see you guys. Awesome. Well, listen, I'm going to pray for you that God would ignite a passion in you to use your gifts and abilities for the kingdom and to use your finances for the kingdom. Put your hands on. Some of you have said, you know, I know people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus, but I have never told them about my faith or about the gospel message. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Wow, a lot. Awesome. I'm going to pray that God gives you the boldness to share the greatest message and the greatest hope they could ever have. And I'm going to pray something dangerous for you guys. I'm going to pray that you would be the one that would lead them to Jesus. Just think about that. You could be the only thing that stands in the way of somebody coming to know their Savior. So that's why I'm going to pray for you guys. Now, some of you would say, I need to work on loving one another deeply. I have a lot of silly things and unforgiveness to get in the way. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. All right, many of you. I'm going to pray that you handle that situation in a healthy way, but I'm going to pray that whatever it is, you give it over to the Lord and you seek reconciliation and you seek peace. Now, some of you in this room may say, I need help in worshiping God passionately. In the words of the Righteous Brothers, you've lost that love and feeling, right? If that's you and say, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time, but I just lack the zeal or lack the angst to read his word and to pray, I want you to raise your hand. I see you guys. Listen, your spiritual devotion, your spiritual growth will never exceed your spiritual devotion to him. Read his word, pray, serve, and watch how the Holy Spirit just gives you a desire to be with him. Now, lastly, for some of you, this message is foreign. You said, well, in order for me to grow in those areas, I actually have to follow Jesus. If you're someone in this room who says, you know, I've never followed Jesus before, I want to be a disciple of Jesus, I want to follow Jesus, but I've never really committed to do that, I want you to raise your hand if you want to commit your life to Christ. Awesome. I see you. Here's what I want to encourage you guys to do. Many of you are sitting next to somebody. As soon as this ends, I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them that you want to follow Jesus. And then I want you to find one of the pastors here on staff. But I'm going to pray that you'll have the boldness to do this. I know it's scary, especially if you've been sitting in these pews for many years or in churches for many years. Have the boldness to do that. So let me pray. Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that you have called us into a hope that is without decay, that is perfect and will last forever. Lord, help us to be emboldened to live this life of disciple. Help us to live bold and courageous for you. And Lord, I pray that your glory would be seen all over this world because of faithful followers and disciples of Jesus making more disciples and more Christ followers in this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We greatly appreciate having the Spolinos here, and they're going to be running out to head to Ooltewah Baptist, and we'd love to have all of you back tonight, as we'll have our international dinner tonight, a great time to connect with them and some of our other missionaries. We've still got a lot of our service left. I want to call the ushers forward now. I wanted to call your attention as well. We had a couple of questions, mainly from staff, on our Faith Promise card that on the back of it, there's an opportunity if you wanted to connect with missionaries, getting their updates and things, to put your name, email address on there. I know some of you don't like to put your name with what you're pledging or what you're promising for the financial gift. So you are welcome to turn in two separate cards if you want to do both of those things, or you can turn them in all on one, just so you guys can know that that's a way to do that. So let me pray for our offering, and we will continue in our worship. Father, we do thank you for opportunities to give, to go, to grow, all of the things that you call us to do. But now, Lord, as we come to this time of offering, we know that we can offer ourselves in so many different ways as we go out into the community. We have opportunities even just to say, hey, I want to give of myself and serving in the church, and to put that in an offering plate. And so we pray for those opportunities and supporting missionaries. And God, we know too that we can give of the resources that were never ours to begin with. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would take all of the things that are given, Lord, and use them for your kingdom, for your glory. God, for your message, your gospel to be spread right here around the community and taken around the world, making disciples and growing disciples. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Let the church arise.
The battle. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
So the churches were strengthened in faith, and they increased numbers daily.
God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
As we go to share the gospel, we go in the strength of our Lord.
So let the church arise. Would you stand with us as we sing?
And rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin. And holy, King of
great things to do at the Go Conference is to talk about people who are going, and we've got another one to come up in a minute, but we have got a team that is going to Greece. If you all want to come on up, you got to stand like on the stage so the people in the very back of the balcony can see you. They told me this morning they wanted to see you, so they're going to be able to see the whole team. These folks are going out. They're going to be working with the ABWE Conference and working with the children there in particular. I think Rebecca Monroe started the whole thing, and then she just bailed for some unknown reason, changed her name, had a kid, and then bailed on the team. So it seemed weird to go with like a two-month-old child, I guess. But we are excited about this team getting to go out and to take care of missionary kids, and that's really what a lot of the Go Conference here is about, is taking care of missionaries too. So we're going to pray for them in a second. Now, Bill, are you still going? Come on up, Bill. We want to bring Bill Fortner up here, and he is getting ready to head back to Romania. He's done many trips there, has another one coming up. We wanted to be in particular prayer for him as he is. Last week I was praying for this guy having heart surgery the next day. I called in sleepy to work once. No one laughed at that. They're like, okay, we've all done these things. We're all convicted, I guess. So. Okay, so Les and Karen Siefkert, and I'm going to wait for them to get all the way down here. Les is out eating somewhere anyway. So but we are excited to be able to send them as well as our Greece team, and I just want to pray for you guys now, all right? Well, Father, we do pray for first our team going to Greece, and we just thank you for their heart to be able to go and to serve missionaries by loving on their children. So we do, of course, pray for safe travel. God, I pray that they will constantly have on their minds that their mission journey here starts before they even leave this building, but as they're in airports and talking to different people and they're on the planes, that those are opportunities to be a witness to your gospel. But God, we pray for the children that they will be caring for, God, that some of them won't know you, that they can share that gospel truth with them, and then for those who know you to help train them to follow you and to be a great respite for them away from the regular serving fields, and pray that they are a great blessing to the parents. And so we thank you for them, pray blessings on their ministries in Christ's name. We pray as well for Bill as he is getting ready to head back to Romania. Thankful for the Siefkerts that will be able to join him there. So Lord, we pray that you again will bless the work. And the same thing, Lord, that we know that it is hard for Bill in a very good way not to share your gospel wherever he would go. And so Lord, we pray for those same opportunities as he travels, as he's in the town there, Lord, to glorify you, to spread your gospel, but also to help to train young pastors to go and to reach their own nation for your glory. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. We'll call Mike up to introduce our next speaker.
Orange or red, I can't quite tell, but there we go. Again, I'm Mike Swanson. I'm the Go Pastor here at Grace. It has been great over the last number of days to have some people that are new to us, like the Spolinos, like the Petties that have been here, and have shared about the ministry that God's called them to, but also, as we've been here each week, we've had opportunities to get some reports, some updates from different folks that we know well. And many of you probably know Joel and Debbie Dix and their family. They're going to come share a little bit, give us a bit of a report and share about the ministry that they have based in Hungary. Joel grew up here at Grace to some extent, I think, through high school and maybe junior high, went off to college, got married, had a whole mess of kids, worked in business here in Chattanooga, but has always been involved in different parts of outreach. When we were in Hungary, they made a number of trips over, helped out the ministry there, and then God finally pulled them into it where they are there all the time now, and we're very excited to have Joel come share about the ministry that the Dix family has there.
Thanks for the opportunity to be here this morning and to share with you a little bit about what's been happening in Hungary over the last couple of years. All right. Really excited to see Mike and Joe Beth here this morning. We certainly are indebted to them, and our ministry is indebted to them in no small part. Due to the investment that they made in Central and Eastern Europe, and in particular Hungary, over 25 years ago. If I'm not mistaken, did you guys just return from being over there? They were celebrating, I believe, the 25th anniversary of one of our partners. This is the very first church that the ABW team's partnered with there in Hungary, not too far from our house where we live. So I'm really glad to see you guys here this morning. We have thoroughly enjoyed our time of furlough here, being in the States this summer and into the fall. But at the same time, we, of course, are very anxious to return to Hungary, and we'll be doing that the first week of January. For those of you who may not know us that well, and there are a lot of new faces here since the last time we were here a number of years ago, let me give you just a brief introduction to our family. We do have a mess of kids, as Mike pointed out, but we only have two left in the house now. So from right to left, our son Tyler and his wife Jillian, they live up in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area. Josie and Mary Beth, our daughters that are still with us. Next is Brian and Ariel. They are serving also in Hungary. They both teach at the International Christian School of Budapest. Ariel's a science teacher. Brian teaches Bible there. Our other son, Grant, who is a junior up at Liberty. And then my wife, Debbie, and I. Well, I wanted to take just a couple of minutes to tell you about, in particular, a new ministry opportunity that our team has, and as well as to give you a chance to hear from Josie for just a few minutes about one of her ministry experiences. But first, I want to give you just kind of a quick visual overview of our team. We have 12 adults, 4 MKs on our team in Hungary. And just to give you an overview of our team, what our ministry objectives are with our team, and then just a little glimpse into the sights and some sounds of our beautiful capital city of Budapest. That picture, if you just see the one with the man with the horse or the donkey, I put that in just for Mike. That's our mechanic. His name is Karchi, and I'm pretty sure he traded that horse for an oil change. I'm pretty sure of that. But Mike, you probably know Karchi from many years back. All right. Well, you may have also noticed on some of the slides that talked about outreach ministries that one of the items listed was public school ministry. And one of the local churches that we partner with, that you also saw listed on that list of churches, is the Erdliget Baptist Church. And its pastor, Pastor Judy, is a very passionate shepherd of his church. He's also very passionate about connecting with the community in meaningful ways. And as you might imagine, the public schools in our town are pretty small. They're pretty basic. There isn't much support from the government for the teachers or the parents. And this church holds an annual 2-week summer camp ministry that we've been a part of for the last couple of years. And it attracts hundreds of kids from the area. We've become part of some after-school clubs as well that the church has initiated at the school. But in the last couple of years, we've really seen opportunities for these types of relationships become available to us. So starting this year, one of our teammates, Megan McQueen, Stephen Carroll's daughter, who serves with us over there, is dedicating a lot of her time during the week to connecting with teachers, connecting with families, connecting with students in these two schools, the elementary and the middle school. And so you think, well, that's nice, but what's the payoff? All right, why would we do that? Well, already a lot of these kids have started coming to the church. They've started becoming involved in the youth group there. We're seeing families come to church, which is a very unusual thing. That's very exciting. And they see this out-of-the-ordinary interest that the church has in helping the school and the students, and it's very meaningful to them. But the real benefit that we see comes from a message that I got earlier this week from one of our teammates. He sent Debbie and I a little update. And I want to read to you just a short part of what he wrote to us about this church-school relationship. This is our teammate, Kevin. He says, an English teacher, a Christian, in another public school in Ayr, that's the town where we are, English teacher in another public school in Ayr asked Pastor Jody about having an American missionary come and speak in her class as a guest speaker. She has cleared this with the principal, and according to what she said, we'll be able to share our faith, why we're in Hungary, all of our ministries. She's told Pastor Julie that she just wants to get the gospel into the school. We're going to meet next week. We're going to talk about this opportunity, and we're pretty sure it's going to lead to another school as a part of our public school ministry. And that's what most of our ministries there look like, whether it's ESL, whether it's our Bible studies, whether it's the International Christian School that's there. It's connecting with people in our community in a meaningful way, much like what John talked about this morning in D.C., building a relationship with him that will develop into opportunities to share the gospel with him. It sounds a lot like the mission in India and in Bolivia and in Romania and Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C., all these places that we've heard about this week, and right here in Chattanooga. It's the same mission. It's the same ministry, just a different geography. Well, I also wanted to give you a chance to hear quickly from Josie. Josie, come on up. Josie's 16. She's a junior at the International Christian School of Budapest. And she and our son Grant and another teammate's daughter had an opportunity to spend some time in Kosovo with Nadine Hennessy. Many of you will remember and possibly met Nadine when she was here not too long ago telling you about the Kosovo Leadership Academy.
All right, so two summers ago, Grace supported me and my brother on our missions trip to Kosovo. That trip was really cool. It opened up our eyes to the major need for missions in Kosovo. We went with one other teen whose family serves with us in Hungary, and then with two college students who came from Michigan. I really got to know these three Kosovar sisters, Elvira, Albina, and Dafina. Two of them are twins. And then they've gone through so much. They have a mom who's not going to live very long. And then we also got to spend 3 days with them in the cabins in Rugova, which was incredible. During that time, we had several devotion times where the group members from our group shared our life stories. And then we just got to tell them about the Bible. After our mountain trip, we spent our time in Mitrovica, which was a town a couple hours away. There we worked in daycares for a couple days, and we also held game nights for the local teenagers. During the daycare, we got each group member was assigned 8 to 10 kids, and we had them through the entire day. And so we played with them, we taught them English, ate with them. We also held a couple game nights for the teenagers. That was really cool, especially since we were their age. We, with a little English that they spoke, we were able to tell them our life stories. They were able to tell us all that they struggle with. We actually made our own mini golf set, which was not that easy. And then we just played sports with them for the rest of the nights. We've also been able to actually keep in touch with them through social media, so it's really great to see how far they've come. So both Grant and I are really grateful that we were able to go. So we also wanted to thank you again for supporting us, and we really hope to visit again.
We love any time we have opportunities to do ministry with our kids. They frequently get to be a part of the things that we do throughout the week, but we also love to see them kind of go off on their own and do ministry also. Putting them both on a plane by themselves, though, to a predominantly Muslim country, that was a bit of a stretch of faith, but it was I think it was very meaningful in their lives. Well, we do thank you for your continued prayers for us. Thank you for being so faithful in supporting us, in holding the ropes, as we talked about Wednesday night, and all of the different ways that is shown to us, or your love is shown to us. We also love having folks come and see us and see firsthand what life and ministry looks like in our part of Central Europe. So if that's ever something that's crossed your mind, we'd love to talk to you about that, to come over and spend some time with us. If you don't receive our updates, you can check with us back on our table. There's a place where you can sign up for those. And you can pick up one of our prayer cards or our prayer coasters, as I'm calling them. I don't think they're waterproof, but you can get some of those as well. Grace, thank you so much. Not just for being our ascending church, not just for your support, but thank you for the legacy of missions that this church continues to put forth and continues to invest in. Money is important, no doubt. Ministries are important, no doubt. But we thank you as a family for investing in us. As Mike mentioned, I've been a part of this church since I was a teenager. And so that investment does not go unnoticed. Thank you so much for being our sending church.
All right. I wasn't leaving because I didn't want to hear from the Dicks. We were sitting back here listening, and it was great to hear from them. Judith and I have really enjoyed getting to know that family. Got to spend time with them last year, and they've actually been in our Grace group this semester when they've been in town, so that's been a lot of fun, too. So as we ask all the Grace groups and Sunday school classes to connect with and kind of adopt some of the missionaries, we've already grabbed them. So and they kind of grabbed us. So they're off limits, but you guys can grab some of the others. So we come to a time that we're going to close out our service in really just a wonderful way. This being our GO conference, our missions conference, this is a wonderful reminder today that one of our first, if not the kind of primary mission field that we have is in our home. And we have two children today who are coming because they desire to be baptized and to share with all of you that they have trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation. These two children both come from two branches of one family and have parents and grandparents and cousins and uncles and aunts who I know are sharing the gospel with them, and they hear that every week here as well. And so we are excited to come to this time and just show really what is much of the goal of what we do when we go. So I want to first bring Ellie Borma. No hand needed. All right, there we go. Come on in. Turn you around this way. Right. Well, Miss Ellie, have you trusted in Jesus Christ for your salvation, and do you desire to follow him all the days of your life?
Yes.
Amen. Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you as my little sister in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in death. Raised to walk in new life. Ellie and I have a great time together. She's one of the first kids that I got to meet in the church, and she gives me a really hard time about the Georgia room in my basement, but we have fun with it anyway. At least I do. I don't know if she does. So we have now her cousin coming as well, Maddox Houts. Yeah, this is a little on the warm side. It feels good today. I'm going to stay in here during Sunday school with the women. It feels really good. All righty. Well, this is Maddox Houts, and we are glad to have him here as well. It's great when you get to do, you know, cousins together here. It's a wonderful thing. So, Maddox, have you trusted in Jesus Christ for your salvation, and do you desire to follow him all the days of your life?
Yes.
Amen. All right. On your profession of faith, I baptize you as my little brother in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in death. Raised to walk in new life. There we go. Amen. Well, I hope you all have really enjoyed the morning. I think it's been a blessing for all of us. It's time to go.